Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, Gail, and please be seated. Christmas is coming! Well, it's 301 days, in fact, but that didn't stop little Johnny. He was getting ready, and he said to his big brother one day, "I've got a great idea. I know exactly what I'm going to ask for. A great big gun and a chainsaw." His older, wiser brother said to him, "Well, interesting. You could ask for those things. But you love trains, don't you? And Dad's really into trains. And what about a cricket set? You're good with a bat, and Dad would really like to teach you how to play cricket properly." Well, in the Lord's Prayer, our older brother, the Lord Jesus, tells us what to ask our Heavenly Father for. Here's a prayer which teaches us wisdom, what to pray for, what to ask for, how to ask for it, for whom to ask for it. It tells us the kind of prayer that our loving Heavenly Father loves to answer. He's like a good father who knows how to give gifts to his children. This is our second of two sermons on the Lord's Prayer, this model prayer that Jesus taught us both to say and to guide our praying. And we saw last time how the prayer begins by focusing on God, our Father in heaven, who he is, and his kingdom and glory. And we'll see today the second half of this prayer, where Jesus encourages us now in the light of that to begin to focus on our needs. The order is surely significant. "Seek first the kingdom of God," Jesus said, "and all these things that you need, your clothes and your food, which your Heavenly Father knows you need, they'll be added to you as well." Prioritize God and his glory and honour and kingdom. But yes, pray about your needs too, keeping that big picture in mind. Sometimes we can be a bit sort of super spiritual and over holy about our prayers. We can almost feel a bit guilty about praying about our own concerns and needs. But Jesus encourages us to do so. Not wickedly selfish to bring our concerns to our loving Heavenly Father. And this prayer is basically all asking for things, really, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, but in a way a very down-to-earth prayer. I need to get used to being in the pulpit again. I nearly fell out of it just then, I think. I try not to do that. That would be a bit overexciting, wouldn't it? How reassuring, then, that our loving Heavenly Father knows our needs. It's good news that our Father is enthroned in heaven, willing and able to answer our prayers. The Bible encourages us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. So let's think about the actual words of this prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Give. We ask God to give it to us. It's a gift of his grace, his kindness, his generosity. Of course, it doesn't mean that we don't work for our food. The Apostle Paul says that if a person refuses to work, he shouldn't eat. But the Bible wants to teach us our needy dependence on God. What we have sometimes comes to us through our work, sometimes through the work of others. But Mr. Tesco's delivery or the brilliance of the village shop shouldn't blind us to the fact that it's ultimately God who provides for us. We're such hungry creatures with insatiable appetites, aren't we? Needy, dependent. Just as I was leaving the house this morning, the roast lamb was beginning to smell promising. And you know, I could manage a little something now if I tried. Probably want 3 meals a day, a few snacks. I think I'm on about 48,000 meals so far in my life. That's a lot of eating, isn't it? A lot of dependency, a lot of daily need. And our well-stocked fridge shouldn't blind us to the fact that God feeds us every day. We depend on him for life and breath and for everything else. There are no real self-made people, are there? We're all dependent on God and his kindness and generosity to us. Our communion service is a reminder of that. We come to him with empty hands and he feeds us by his grace. So this is a prayer then that should banish all arrogance and pride. A prayer that should humble us. A prayer that should make us generous to others. Because we have freely received, Jesus says, we should freely give. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Now, we thought about this last time. Strange. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, well, go to your room, close the door, and pray in secret to your unseen Heavenly Father who sees what you do in secret, and say to him, our Father, our daily bread, give us. So this is the great church family prayer, not just me and my needs, but our needs. You might think today especially of the people of Ukraine and Russia and the people of God in those countries. This is an expansive prayer with a big vision, isn't it? A prayer that encourages us deliberately and thoughtfully to pray for others. It'd be good to use the prayer diary and the notice sheet and pray for our mission partners and so on. To keep informed about the world and what God is doing in it. Give us our daily bread. Now, I'm sure you're all enormous fans of MC Hammer. In 1990 he rapped, "We've got to pray just to make it today." I think Jesus would agree. Give us today our daily bread. Can we make it a daily habit to pray? We eat daily, so we pray daily. Be good, wouldn't it, at lunch today, if you've got some food, to say, well, thank you, Lord, for giving me my daily bread. Do Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Christian life is trusting God for today, for the next step. You know, God doesn't promise to download a month's worth of bread into our kitchen. He says, trust me for today, for the next step. Walk with me. Keep trusting me. In Luke's version of this prayer, it's literally something like, the bread of our tomorrow, give us today. Give us the bread of the coming day. And maybe in the light of the rest of the prayer and of the Bible, it means something like, give us today the bread of that great tomorrow, of your coming kingdom. Help us now to live in the light of heaven and the new creation. And we know that's not yet, so most of the blessings of the Christian life are still to come, but God gives us a bit in advance. We live as kind of citizens of there now. We're a little outpost of heaven, or we're meant to be. Give us today the bread of the coming day of tomorrow. Bread. It's a bit of a shame in a way. It doesn't say, give us today our daily bread and jam or our daily cake, isn't it? Here's a prayer for our necessities. I guess my prayer for the top of the range Land Rover is not likely to be answered very soon. James says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Or this prayer might remind us of the proverb, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me my daily bread. Otherwise I might have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Oh, well, I'm self-sufficient, I'm the great person. Or maybe I might become poor and steal, fail to trust God and grasp stuff in the wrong way, not waiting for him to give it to me. Bread's almost a synonym for food, isn't it? I guess if Jesus was Irish, he would have said, give us today our daily potatoes or something. Bread stands for all our needs. And of course, for the Old Testament reader, what would daily bread be? Surely manna, yes, exactly. The bread which literally normally only lasted a day. You had to collect it every day. Again, teaching on that lesson of dependence on God, testing them to trust God for the day. And what was the purpose of the manna? Well, remember they'd come out of slavery in Egypt, they're pilgriming through the promised land, through the wilderness rather, wandering in the desert, heading for the promised land. So the daily bread of the manna is, or keep me going till the promised land. Keep me going on my pilgrimage with you. Lord, lead me safely home to heaven and the new creation. And keep me in the meantime. Provide for me. Give me what I need to serve your purposes. That's the purpose of the bread, isn't it? That we might be equipped for God's service. The purpose of our service today, where we receive God's word in word and sacrament, that we might go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Jesus said, a person does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is bread to our souls, which we need just as much as we need our daily bread. We should pray not only about our physical needs, but about our spiritual needs. Jesus said, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which I, the Son of Man, will give you. Jesus will give bread to the 5,000, won't he? He'll even let the Gentile dogs gather up the crumbs under the children's table. He's the bread of life, the bread who comes down from heaven, the one whom we really need, without whom we'll perish. Give us today our daily bread, our physical needs. But also this is a prayer which encourages us to pray about our spiritual needs too. The rest of the prayer really focuses on, what would you call it, our, our moral, spiritual needs, forgive us our sins, deliver us from temptation and from evil or from the evil one. I wonder if those are our great concerns. Forgiveness, godliness. The Bible describes it as a debt, doesn't it? Forgive us our debts. It's as if all of us are morally bankrupt. We couldn't possibly pay back the debt which we owe God. Everything we have comes from Him. And so we need His forgiveness. It's not a kind of quid pro quo here. You know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive their debts. It's not a kind of bargain by which we earn or deserve our forgiveness. The reason Jesus speaks like this is that it's by forgiving others that we show that we've been forgiven. Remember Jesus' exchange with Peter. How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me and comes and repents? Seven? Generous offer? No, Jesus says 70 times seven or something. It doesn't mean that we should keep count. I think of that parable of the unmerciful servant, the one who's been forgiven that enormous debt. And then grabs hold of his fellow servant and gets him to pay back those few pounds on the last penny. He hasn't really received mercy, has he? Hasn't really received God's grace. I told you before, I think, the first four words you should learn in any foreign language that will also get you through on Judgment Day. My friend will pay. Well, praise God for the Lord Jesus, who pays the debt of sin for all those who will put their trust in Him. Forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation. A topical prayer as we begin to think about Lent. We think too of Jesus, who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Not a sin to be tempted. Jesus is able to sympathise with our weakness. The one who was tested and proved and is our faithful high priest who can sympathise with us. Jesus was going to go to the hard testing, the great test, the tribulation of the cross. He was delivered over to evil that we might be delivered from evil. So Jesus tells us to watch and pray that we will not fall into temptation. We can partly be the answer to this prayer by avoiding the occasions and opportunities for sin. Perhaps late at night or after a drink or when we're hangry, tired and hungry, when we're running late or whatever. We might pray in those moments, lead me not into temptation. The Bible tells us God never tempts anyone. God wants us to be tested and proved to endure. Satan wants us to trip up. No temptation has seized us except that which is common to people. And God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we're tempted, He will always provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people from trials. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from evil or from the evil one. According to the Bible, the devil really does exist. C.S. Lewis famously said that the devil is just as pleased with a magician or a materialist. One of the devil's greatest cons is that he doesn't exist. It's a great coup for him, isn't it? If he can make us think, oh well, you know, the devil, that's just sort of cartoon land. We needn't bother with him. What a fantastic strategic advantage if you don't think your enemy actually exists. Well, the Bible warns us to be aware of him, that prowling lion who goes round looking for those whom he can destroy. Yes, Jesus has knocked out the lion's teeth, but he can still give us a pretty nasty sucking. The devil is a fierce dog, even if he's a dog on a lead. So we pray here that God would call the devil off. The Bible tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Praise God then for the Lord Jesus, who has delivered us. Jesus, who has defeated Satan and triumphed over him by the cross. Jesus, the stronger man, who has bound Satan and plundered his house. Let's bring our needs to God with confidence in the light of who he is and his kingdom. Let's pray for our daily necessities, for what we need to walk with him and serve his purposes and get to glory. We pray for our moral and spiritual needs, the forgiveness of our sins, the grace to forgive others, and deliverance from temptation and from evil. We ask all these things of God, because his alone is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A moment perhaps just to reflect quietly on this prayer and to pray your own prayer in the light of it.